Let's begin.
This is the Boss.
I'm the Boss.
And the Gloss.
Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket.
Welcome back. It is Monday night, and I'm sitting next to the Monday Night Delight, Carla Dawson. Welcome in.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to be here.
And Jose behind the glass.
How are you guys doing this week?
We're doing fantastic. I think so. How about you, Carla?
I am doing great. Texans had a really nice win. College football was exciting. I love watching the non-talked-about Pac-12 beat each other up. Let's just score 60 points in a Chip Kelly offense and beat Washington State. Well, what the heck? What was that?
I'm not going to speak for the Pac-12. I'll let you take care of all the patterns in the Pac-12.
It kicked it off with USC beating a number 10 Utah.
Yeah.
With their third stringer. What's going on with quarterbacks?
I don't know, but it is a fun season in the NFL with all these young quarterbacks. It seems each week there's somebody who stands out. Daniel Jones, of course, the hero of yesterday.
Oh, my goodness. It's like Daniel Jones for president at this point.
Daniel Jones has awakened all of giant country. In fact, I don't know that I can recall somebody who was so ridiculed as a draft pick, and then just a little while, right out of the chute here, early in the season, played so well. I mean, he was criticized. There were boos. There were all the critics. Universally, he was a bad pick. Why would the Giants take him at number six? And now, here we sit, week three, and he's the man.
He's anointed the savior. But you know what's interesting? I don't know if the boos were for Daniel Jones personally, because he seems like just an upstanding, great kid, great leader. I think they were more for Dave Gettleman and just kind of the whole direction of the New York Giants for the past several years.
Well, and Gettleman needs some PR help, right?
Yes.
Just his appearance, what he says. He could be a better presentation, I would think.
Well, what's interesting about Daniel Jones, so at Duke, and who watches Duke football? I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm a football junkie, but can't say I've watched a lot of Duke. He had one great game at Duke versus Temple. He's now equaled that in the NFL, so he's 1-1. He's batting 500.
All right, when we come back, we're going to look at another quarterback, Deshaun Watson, a guy I think is a little bit underrated across the league. Deshaun Watson, when we return here on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. Monday Night Football about to get underway. It will be a pretty good matchup of two teams that I think are pretty competitive with one another, not marquee teams, but Bears and Redskins. Bears have looked great defensively, but have really struggled on the offensive side of the ball.
Whew, I think there are a lot of questions with Mitchell Trubisky. I really do.
Well, it's sort of a tough window to be struggling as a young quarterback because there's so many young quarterbacks getting a ton of attention. And frankly, a lot of young quarterbacks playing quite well. But the Bears, well, they just have not performed offensively. And well, I guess it was opening night, Thursday night football. We watched them, and they really struggled at home against Green Bay. And at that point, I was trying to think, well, is that that Green Bay's defense has gotten so good or that the Bears' offense is so bad?
So let's credit them.
And it probably was a combination.
But you want to hear some really ugly facts for tonight?
Yep.
Okay, so Mitchell Trubisky has 72 pass attempts without a touchdown. He ranks number two in the NFL. Who ranks number one?
Well, Cam Newton.
Yes,
that's a
with
tough
89 pass attempts without a touchdown.
Tough stretch without a touchdown.
And then for Washington, this is their sad fact. They've lost seven straight Monday Night Football games.
Mm.
So hopefully they'll break the streak tonight if you're a Washington fan. And hopefully Trubisky will not add in the 80s for his pass attempts without a touchdown tonight. Yikes.
Well, Redskins off to a slow start. I mean, they are 0-2. And Case Keenum has actually showed some ability. He has had some flashes, right, where he has perform well. He had a great first half against the Eagles, and then he had some moments against the Cowboys. But when you look at what Daniel Jones has done for the Giants, it does raise the question, should the Redskins consider bringing in Dwayne Haskins?
Well, I do think that this game is going to be a national spotlight to help answer that question.
A pivotal
for all
game,
of us
right?
Talking heads.
Sure.
What I think you should be clear about, and I'm glad you mentioned who the Redskins' opponents have been. It's been the Philadelphia Eagles, very stout opponent, and the Dallas Cowboys going into tonight.
Yep.
Daniel Jones, I want to first and foremost credit him. He looked phenomenal. He looked athletic. He actually looked fast. He made great decisions. I mean, I was impressed. I want to just remind you all, it was the Buccaneers on the other side.
Hey, come on now.
So he did exactly what he needed to do.
Yes, he did.
But it is against Tampa Bay, and Washington has seen stiffer competition than what Daniel Jones saw yesterday.
I will tell you this, though. I don't think the Giants would have won that game with Eli Manning. I think Daniel Jones was a difference in that game.
I do think
his ability to run the ball,
sure,
the decisions he made, the crispness of his throws, I give him a lot of credit for yesterday's win.
No, I do too.
And he did without Saquon Barkley most of the game.
Right, who has a high ankle sprain and could be out for 4 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, well, that will be another test. I mean, a lot of the thought of starting Daniel Jones and the hope that he could perform well as a rookie is he has the classic best friend of a young quarterback as a running back, and that would have been Saquon Barkley, top of the heap. But now Barkley is out.
Well, and credit the Giants defense. They looked energized yesterday. There was just a different energy on that team yesterday. And I do think Eli Manning is just a great guy, solid player. But his time in New York has been done. It's been done for a couple years. So now here comes Daniel Jones. And I am impressed what I saw yesterday. But teams don't have a book on him yet, but they're starting to now, as of yesterday. So that will also make a difference. But he's a smart kid. I mean, he went to Duke. He will be able to adjust. And I think Pat Shurmur will be a good coach for him. So let's see what happens. But I am not ready to anoint him the new king of New York yet.
Well, you know that the New York Post has been really tough on Dave Gettleman and the Giants. All kinds of negative headlines since the big draft pick, number 6 overall, Daniel Jones. Yesterday, the New York Post headline was, Dantastic.
There we
for
go.
For Daniel Jones, he is Dantastic.
And you know, if I'm a Giants fan, I'm hanging on to every bit of that win.
Oh, they are frothy in New York. So here's my take on all this. You look at all these young quarterbacks, there's a whole bunch of energy and excitement around some of these young guys. And when I say young, I'll say year 3 or earlier, right? So that includes the class of Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, and then work your way back. And I just am amazed when you look at all the buzz on some of these guys. I think Deshaun Watson is getting short shrift. I think he's been overlooked just a little bit. And let me frame it up this way. When you think about the matchup yesterday between the Ravens and the Chiefs, people were calling Patrick Mahomes versus Lamar Jackson the next coming of Brady and Manning. When you look at all the buzz about Dak Prescott right now, when you look at the buzz now for Daniel Jones after yesterday, Jacoby Brissett stepping in for Andrew Luck. He had a very, very good game yesterday. Teddy Bridgewater for the Saints. Gardner Minshew, your fan, your guy. So my point is I'm really impressed by how much attention has gone to all these quarterbacks I just mentioned. And other than Mahomes, I would take Deshaun Watson over any one of those names, Jackson, Prescott, Minshew, Jones, Daniel Jones.
What about Luke Falk?
Okay, I'll go ahead and throw him into there.
These are the names that are starting quarterbacks right now. That's itself crazy.
You got to include him in the set. And I'm saying Watson's head and shoulders above them all. Patrick Mahomes is my one exception. Look, there are several of these guys who have done pretty darn well out of the chute. But Deshaun Watson played a great game yesterday. Without him, the Texans would never have won that game.
No.
He was the difference maker. You saw
against the Chargers and a very experienced Phillip Rivers, who also looked phenomenal yesterday.
Listen, that's a game that the Texans historically would have lost on the road against a quality team like the Chargers.
In a soccer stadium.
Well, throw the soccer stadium in there. I mean, look, the fact is the Chargers were all beat up. I mean, Derwin James is a big loss for them. They didn't have their left tackle, Okung. And that was pivotal late in the game when their left tackle had the holding call that brought the play back. But leave that aside. Injuries are what they are.
And it's going to happen to every team.
It's going to happen. But Deshaun was a difference maker yesterday.
Oh, he was a difference maker. And you know what? I've got a hot tip for you, so listen up, because you may not have caught this. You are exactly right. Deshaun Watson does not get the respect he deserves. And CBS just kind of emphasized that when they called him Deshaun Watkins at the end of the game yesterday.
Yeah, not so good.
That would be Sammy, and he plays for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, and I don't think Deshaun Watson really cares about that, but I'll tell you what, roll the tape. That's all I'm going to tell you. It was beautiful at Clemson, and he has not skipped a beat being in the NFL. And I think what has happened, why he is not talked about as often or not getting the respect that he actually deserves, it's all about expectations. I mean, these Giants fans, they wanted a savior, they expected a savior, they needed one. So anything that Daniel Jones does, if he licks his lips correctly, there's going to be a parade. I mean, it's so exciting. There are not expectations for the Houston Texans by anybody outside of Houston, Texas, and to be perfectly honest.
They're not a nationally followed team yet.
No, they're, you know, 15, 16-year-old franchise. And so I think that's where he gets lost in it a bit. But let me tell you, there were a few times yesterday in that game where I was like, oh, he's sacked again. No, he's not. He just comes out of the scrum. I mean, he absolutely and throws a beautiful moving pass on the run, finds his receiver, or he runs. He reads defenses beautifully. He's fast. He's shifty. He's calm. He's confident. And this team, 52 guys on the Texans, would lay down their life for this guy. They adore him. I mean, they really, they want to play for him. They respect him as a leader and an athlete and a person. And I mean, he is who you want in your locker room, let alone what he does on the field, which is incredible.
Well, one group that seems to be doing better for him is his offensive line. Texans, well, they tweaked some things. Obviously, they've invested a lot of draft capital in that offensive line. The trade for Laremy Tunsil, they plugged him in at left tackle. And then yesterday, they moved Titus Howard, who had been playing left guard, over to right tackle. And those are the bookends they really would like to see. Titus Howard, of course, their first-round pick this year. Tunsil, Laremy Tunsil, a great player. Those are two tackles there to anchor the two sides. And they moved Max Sharping, their second-round pick, into left guard. It would seem those are the building blocks of a good offensive line.
It showed yesterday. Deshaun Watson had a lot of time to throw almost with every drive. He looked absolutely great. And I do credit that line. The improvement from last week to this week has been unbelievable. And just with the greatness that you were talking about earlier with Deshaun Watson, go all the way back to week one against New Orleans in New Orleans. He engineered that two-pass drive in, what was it, like 60 seconds or something unbelievable. And other than a 58-yard field goal and bad clock management by Bill O'Brien, they win that game, and they're looking at 3-0 by Watson's heroics.
It is interesting. The universal mood in this city from which we're broadcasting, Houston, Texas, is they've got a great quarterback, but a not-so-great coach, general manager, Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, that is the mood. I'm not going to lie.
All right, when we come back, we're going to look at some of the other games around the league. We're going to look closely at the Cowboys. Did Dak Prescott take a step back against the Dolphins yesterday? You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss of SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Carla, I want you to trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Their professionals know what it takes to get the job done right. Professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Come see for yourself. It's O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
That's a deal.
There it is. All right, the Cowboys were favored by, I think, more than 20 points, something like 22 points.
Going to Miami. Well, actually, Miami came to AT.
Yeah, it was the Cowboys had the Dolphins at home, and Cowboys, of course, came into that game 2-0, Dolphins 0-2.
But Dolphins got a new quarterback.
Well, they had Josh Rosen starting. That wasn't going to change the game. You've never been a Josh Rosen apologist.
No, but he held his own yesterday. He did pretty good, I have to say.
Well, for the big point spread, Dolphins were competitive through much of the game. I mean, in the end, it was 31-6.
Yeah,
so if you look at the final score, and it sure seemed like the Cowboys just took care of business. It was all over. But the Dolphins were competitive. They were in there. And part of it was the Cowboys just didn't seem to have a groove. Dak Prescott was struggling a little bit. He threw a pick when he really didn't need to.
Right.
He, as he said, got greedy trying to go too far downfield. And those are the mistakes he still needs to work out of his system. It's interesting to me because, of course, over the last couple of weeks, first 2 weeks, there was all this almost Dak mania, pay Dak a lot of money, Dak's amazing, Dak's this and that. But in my mind, Dak Prescott has not matured to an elite-level quarterback. He's not a top-five quarterback in this league. He has that potential to get there. He's a guy who's pretty physically a gifted and mentally committed. But to make every throw, to make the reads as fast as he needs to make them, he's just not there yet.
No, I think what I think is a real positive with Dak, well, there's many things, is that A, he doesn't believe that he's there yet.
Yeah.
So he's willing to work.
Yep.
He's now got a new offensive coordinator who's doing a great job, it seems, in Kellen Moore.
Yep.
And it's really his first year to work with him full time. He's got incredible chemistry with Amari Cooper. I think that their relationship, Amari has done as much for Dak as he has done for Amari. That is a great duo.
Right.
And I think that's only going to get better. Both of them in, you know, developing roles, but developing at a high level, and their ceiling has not been hit yet. Which
well,
is pretty
and of course,
exciting if you're a Dallas fan.
Yes. And number two receiver, Micah Gallup, labeled number two, but in the first two games, he had caught more passes than even Amari. He was out, and he's out for, it looks like, 3 to 5 weeks. So Gallup will be back. But Devin Smith filled in well for him. The receiving core is solid.
It's solid, which has not been the case for Dallas for a long
time. No. In fact, go back. 1 year ago at this time, Dez Bryant was out of football. Amari Cooper was not a Dallas Cowboy. So they had the likes of Allen Hurns on that team. They had nobody who was really able to step up. They were counting on too much. Jason Witten was in the booth. They were counting on Tavon Austin. They had these guys they thought could be complimentary players, but there's no number one. Now you have a real pecking order. You can look at Amari as a number one. You've got Gallup as a number two, and he's healthy. And Randall Cobb in the slot is better than Cole Beasley. Beasley was the number one pass catcher on the Cowboys last year. He's gone. But Beasley and Hurns were not the duo that would have lit the Cowboys offense on fire. So you're right. They have totally revamped a position in a one-year timeline.
And even though, you know, you're saying he's not at the – Dak Prescott would not be at an elite quarterback level – I don't see that there's anybody that the Cowboys could bring in that's available that would do the job they need. He has bought into the system. He's got the locker room. He's got the respect. He's got the support of the locker room and the coach. This guy's a keeper. And the way that Dallas has built up its offense and his defense, this is the guy you want under center.
Well, the offensive line looked dominant yesterday, albeit against a weak Dolphin front. But you had Ezekiel Elliott getting 125 yards rushing, and then
Tony Pollard
came in and got 105. So remarkable rushing the ball, and then Prescott had plenty of time to pick his receiver of choice.
And maybe that's what, you know, he said he got greedy. Well, you can test that greed against a competition like a Miami. So, you know, not that that's okay. It's not, but at least he knows what he's done. He's not going to repeat it again in a more competitive game.
And the Cowboys' defense was bolstered by the return of Robert Quinn. He had a two-game suspension from the NFL. He came on, ironically, he's a former Miami Dolphin. In his first start was yesterday for the Cowboys against the Dolphins.
And he was loving being on the other side of that one.
Well, he got a sack against the Dolphins, as did Taco Charlton, former Cowboy.
How crazy is that?
Who suited up for the Dolphins, and he got a sack on Dak Prescott. So it was a little bit of a trade there. Robert Quinn projects as a pretty dominant defensive lineman. He will be a great other side of the end defensive pass rusher when you think about Tank Lawrence at one side, Robert Quinn on the other. And they even envision getting Randy Gregory back. You know, Randy Gregory, quality pass rusher, but he too has been suspended and there's no timetable on his return. Yeah, he has just been trouble.
And how do you feel about Josh Rosen? You saw the game yesterday.
Yeah.
How do you think he did yesterday? And do you think he is the answer going forward for Miami?
No, I don't. And I feel a little bad for him because he's been set up to fail. I mean, there aren't a lot of pieces there. And I think the thought that he's going to perform at a high level and be able to demonstrate that he is worth the Dolphins passing on, say, Tua, if they tank for Tua and they get the number one pick overall, I don't think Josh Rosen's ever going to be able to show them anything this year that would convince them that they should pass on Tua.
Do you think he'll ever be a starting quarterback in the NFL?
I do.
You think he's got starting QB talent?
I think he's got starting QB talent as a mediocre starter. I think he sort of projects as a game manager starting quarterback in the NFL. I think he fits into that Case Keenum, Kirk Cousins pool of quarterbacks, maybe a Joe Flacco. These are guys who are middle-of-the-road starters who are able to perpetuate a long career in a league that is short on quarterbacks.
Amen.
But I do think he's better than a career backup. The thing is, I think Case Keenum, who's going to start tonight for the Redskins, I think he should have been a career backup, but he's been thrust into starting roles periodically, and he does perform at a pretty good level for some period of time.
He has flashes. Remember him in Minnesota?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. His first year in Minnesota, he was unstoppable. Yep. It looked like Superman.
Yep.
And then, yeah, he's a journeyman. It's hard to keep changing coaches and teams and systems, and, you know, credit him. He's still going.
So the other matchup that had a point spread of more than 20, it was the Cowboys and the Dolphins, and then the other one coming in were, well, it was the Patriots and the Jets. But the Patriots only won 30-14. It was a 16-point differential. They did not cover the spread.
Which is amazing considering, well, A, it's the Jets, but it's the Jets minus Sam Darnold, minus your number two in Trevor Siemian, and you're on Luke Falk, number three. Interestingly enough, both Luke Falk and Tom Brady were picks number 199 in their respective drafts.
That is an amazing coincidence, but Luke's got a long way to go to catch up. It was an interesting moment yesterday. The Patriots were almost short on wide receivers for a minute. I mean, Edelman was injured.
Yes.
Josh Gordon had to leave the field for a while. He later came back.
He looks good.
Because they had picked up Antonio Brown and dismissed Antonio Brown, they traded away Demaryius Thomas. So when you look at their receiving core,
to the Jets,
they were suddenly thin. Where just a couple weeks ago, it seemed they had so many options, too much talent. Why do they even need Antonio Brown? They traded away Demaryius Thomas. So here they came in without Brown and Thomas, and the injuries, they were a little thin yesterday.
And maybe that's why they didn't make the spread. But
Poetic justice, though. Right. It would seem you're hoarding talent and actually sacrificing a little bit of your integrity there to pick up Antonio Brown, and then now you end up on the other side a little bit weak.
Yeah. It is interesting, but I said from the beginning, you sell your soul to the devil and you get what you get. So,
the really notable thing about the Patriots, though, right now is not the offense. I mean, it's not Antonio Brown. Of course, that's what the headlines have been.
That was icing on the cake. That was not anything that changes their schemes or strategies.
No, the notable thing about the Patriots right now is their defense is looking really good. As good as the Patriots defense has looked in a long time.
Much better than last year. I thought that was if there was a weaker link for them, that was it last year.
So in the first three quarters of these three games, they've held their last opponents under 100 yards in the first three quarters. I mean, that's an amazing stat.
However, let's look at the three opponents.
Well, there is
Miami.
That. Yes.
The Jets. Who was week two?
I can't tell you off the top of my head.
I can't either. I'll have to look that up, but yeah.
Yeah, they haven't played a lot of competition yet.
But
their defense looks great. One notable thing is their defense is an older group. They have 11 defensive starters who were 29. Seven of the team's 11 defensive starters, 7 of 11, are 29 or older. And age usually doesn't serve you well in the NFL. But with the Patriots and their defense and the experience factor and Belichick's love for scheming, it might just be that this is a team that has a real veteran presence, guys like Hightower at linebacker. They've got guys like Gilmore at corner, guys who can play and scheme and come up with a defensive scheme each week, which is what Belichick loves to do. He may be really having some fun with this team of veterans on the defensive side of the ball.
They started out with a 33-3 beating of the Pittsburgh Steelers. How could I forget that?
Yes.
So there we go.
All right, when we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with Russell Maryland, former number one overall pick for the Cowboys. And we'll ask him how that Cowboys defensive front is faring. It will be Russell Maryland when we return on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, joining us now on the Progressive Insurance guest line is Russell Maryland, former number one overall pick to the Dallas Cowboys. Russell, welcome to the show. You're on with David and Carla.
David and Carla, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, it's a thrill to have you. I'd love to talk about some Dallas Cowboys football.
All right.
Let's start with the Dallas Cowboys defensive line. Of course, you anchored the line in the interior for so many years. How does that defensive front look to you this year?
You know, I tell you what, it all starts with the great coaching that they have. All right, we can talk about the guys. We can talk about the Tank Lawrences. You can talk about the Quinns and, you know, who they have, who they don't have now, Taco Charlton, who you know, ironically was playing for the other team this past Sunday.
Yeah.
But I am so impressed, and I've always had so great respect for Coach Marinelli. I mean, Coach Marinelli has coached some of the best, and I can see what he's trying to do. He wants to get back to that Super Bowl form where he had that Warren Snap, Brad Culpepper, and those guys with those the Hardy Nickersons and that type of deal. And he's slowly getting back there. They've struggled a little bit in the past trying to get that formula. But I think it's all coming together now, and the guys are they have some a little bit more age. They got a good mixture of youth. They got a good mixture of older guys, veterans, and they're putting it all together. But probably the biggest thing that I'm proud about is my guy Leon Lett being the assistant D-line coach there. You know, I love that guy. My former teammate.
You bet. So let's look at Tristan Hill. He's the Cowboys' second-round pick, I guess, and he got on the field for the first time yesterday. How does he look to you?
Well, you know what? I was at the game, and I probably was so busy talking, and people were so busy talking to me, signing autographs, I didn't really catch a whole bunch of his play. But the guy has a lot of upside. You know, he was inactive, I guess, for the first game or two. And to finally be with the injuries that have happened, I think maybe Woods got injured. Woods, he really looked good until he got hurt. But Tristan, you know, as any rookie in their first couple of games, you're a little shaky. You're trying to figure out the whole speed of the game. I mean, and he's had a couple of months to be there in training camp and get with it, but he couldn't crack the active lineup in the first couple of games, and I'm sure that was a shock to him. But he's going to be fine. He's going to be fine with he's working with some great guys, some great coaches. And once he gets the speed of the game right, once he gets his technique under wraps, he's going to be great. He'll do fine.
We're talking to Russell Maryland, former Dallas Cowboy. One more Cowboy
and
question.
And Oakland Raider.
And Oakland Raider, of course.
Forget my boys.
Now, I want to ask, the Cowboys have drafted so well the last 5-7 years, but not with Taco Charlton. What do you think went wrong?
Well, you know what? You can't hit it with all of them. Everybody doesn't always click with all the personalities. I mean, you know, I don't know. You know, the word is that it's just you couldn't get them to the player that Marinelli wanted them to be. He wasn't a guy that wanted to play, quote-unquote, Dallas Cowboy football, which is running to the ball, swarming, just being relentless out there on the field. And if you're not going to do that, if you're going to do if you're going to be a 82% player in a 110% game on 110% defense, then you don't fit in and you stick out like a sore thumb. And that seems to be the word with Taco. Hopefully he can go to the Dolphins and the D-line coach there can get him to being that player that he really needs to be in order to flourish in the NFL. But unfortunately they had to part ways. And knowing Marinelli, he demands a lot out of those guys. And if they don't live up to his expectations, he's going to give you chance after chance. He's going to work with you. But, you know, you have to at a certain point, you have to part ways.
Well, he definitely didn't have the hustle, Russell, that you've got. That's for sure. So let me ask
you know, I got the hustle and the rhyming with the rustle, you know, so that's always been my hey.
I think you ought to trademark that. That is all about your style, which I love. And let me ask you this, Russell. So your style, you are young, but it was old school. It was tough. It was hard. It was hard working. It was hard hitting. It was fantastic. That's how you got to be a three-time Super Bowl champ, a Pro Bowler. Take a look at what's happening in the past few weeks in the NFL. We see, you know, one of your old teams, the Oakland Raiders, with a circus led by Antonio Brown and his social media consultants that basically got a release out of Oakland. You got Taco Charlton, release me on social media. Minka Fitzpatrick got himself traded from Miami to Pittsburgh after, you know, a rough start with his team. Jalen Ramsey wants out now. Tell me your thoughts about this. Like, did you see any of this? I know the social media wasn't there, but did you see any of this kind of behavior with players that wanted out when you played? And why do you think this is happening now?
You know what, Carla? It's the biggest difference from the 90s, when I was there and when I was playing, and now, I mean, everybody is their own PR person.
Yeah.
And they have the power to do it. They have the followers and the power and the media. They're going to catch on and get those Twitter feeds that the players individually put out there. And when you get that, that's a distraction. That causes controversy. It's like, oh, man, these guys want out of their contracts. And you might have, back in the 90s, you might have heard some guys be disgruntled, and every once in a while they might have shared their views in the paper or on one of the, you know, four or five networks. But now you put it out there on Twitter or, you know, Instagram or whatever, everybody knows. Everybody is their own social representative, you know. And that's the part of the game that I really, am conflicted with, you know, because social media can be used for good purposes, but some players, they want to use it, to support themselves. And as we all know, being on the NFL team is about team. It's not about the individual. And I think, as the social media has risen over the past 20 years or so, that's what we see. We see a lot more selfish players. Now, some of them, you know, they may have a good reason to want out. But a lot of times, they don't.
You know, that's a great point to bring up. It is that they're each their own PR agent at this point. And the sad thing is that precedent can be dangerous. And, you know, AB started a real ugly chain. So we'll see if that can stop sometime soon. But, Russell, you are one that has champion DNA at every level. You were a two-time national champion with the Miami Hurricanes, three-time Super Bowl champ, Pro Bowler. What do you think? What did you see at all these different levels that you succeeded at the highest level? Was it the talent? Was it the culture in the locker room, the chemistry you had, or a combination? What was kind of the overriding factor that took your various teams? Every team you touched did great.
Yeah.
Tell us your secret.
If this were a multiple choice test, you know that E would be all of the above.
I love it.
Hey, I tell you what, you got to have the talent. You got to have the guys. I mean, everybody's good in the NFL, but you got to have that talent, but the talent that works hard. Being on the University of Miami Hurricanes, we had all of the best talent in South Florida and all over the country. Me being from Chicago, you know, I find myself in 1986 stepping on the University of Miami campus, and these guys, you know, I'm like Benny Testaverde, Alonzo Highsmith, Melvin Bratton, Danny Stubbs, and the list goes on and on and on. And I'm like, man, he's like grown men. And they're just, but they're not just talent, only just talented. They're going at it 100%, and they're reaching their highest abilities out there on the field. However, part B is the coaching and the culture. Jimmy Johnson, he was a great, great manager of men, and he demanded a lot. And not only Coach Johnson, but, I mean, we have Butch Davis, Dave Wanstead, Dave Campbell, Coach Ed Ogeron, Tommy Tuberville as assistant coaches. So you have all of those guys that are assistant coaches. I mean, you not only have great talent, but you have great coaching, and that there breeds a great culture also. So, but then lastly, it's chemistry. You know, we didn't always hang out together, and we didn't always, you know, eat together or whatever. But when we know we got out there on the field and we're playing, it didn't matter where we were playing, college or whatever pro field we were playing, we had guys, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin, and Troy Aikman, Deion Sanders, Darren Woodson. I mean, these guys, we actually loved each other and cared about each other on that field, and we wanted to win. And we wanted everybody to be successful because we knew we worked hard at it the week before. So all of those factors that go into being a championship person, championship team, and having championship DNA.
We're talking to Russell Maryland. Russell, I want to ask you one more question back about the Miami Hurricanes. First-year head coach Manny Diaz, how do you think he's doing thus far?
Yeah, you know, we were a little bit disappointed in the first two losses. But, you know, hey, I really like Coach Diaz. I was around him when he was a defensive coordinator. I sat in on one of his meetings, and he really gets the guys involved. It's one thing that I know that they're going to do. They're going to be emotionally involved in every game. Now, they may be one or two, three players away from getting back to the old Miami Hurricanes, but you know what? They'll get back there eventually. We just have to do some recruiting. We got to grab some of those players that may be getting out of state, grab some of those top-tier players. But it's one thing that I have faith in Manny Diaz. I've seen him firsthand. You know, who else thinks of the turnover chain? You know, now they got the turnover, rings, mm-hmm. You know, the knuckle rings or whatever. So he knows how to get these guys interested in playing good ball. And so I really enjoy his style of coaching. I think we'll be back to where we're going to be, where we need to be pretty soon.
That's great stuff. That's Russell Maryland. Russell, thank you again so much for joining us.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you. Anytime, guys.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, and it is Monday night, so we get a Monday Night Football update. Bears leading 7-0 over the Redskins, and Case Keenum looks like he's running for his life from that Bears defense.
Punching bag today, I think.
Well, and of course, the Redskins don't have their starting left tackle. Trent Williams still holding out.
Unreal.
You think there's any way he ends up suiting up for the Redskins this year? I mean, he will eventually be traded, will he not?
I think it's going to be the standoff. He does not want to come back for medical issues, not for contracts. But he did not feel that his medical issues last year were handled by the medical staff well in Washington. And Washington's saying, we're not trading you. So it doesn't look pretty.
All right, Bears leading 7-0. And if you hear that score, you think, oh, wow, the Bears offense, Trubisky, they must have done something.
Nope.
But no, it was a pick six. The guy with the world's greatest first name with a pick six on behalf of the Bears. His name?
Clinton Dix.
Clinton Dix. A pick six.
Now, against his former team.
Against it. So he played for the Redskins last year. He's a former Alabama standout.
Two-time national champion with Alabama.
First-round draft pick.
To Green Bay,
then the Redskins. And now he gets a little payback on the Redskins with a pick six against Case Keenum.
Yeah. Ooh. I knew when I saw that 7-0, I thought, it can't be Trubisky what happened. Isn't that sad? I don't want to think that.
And your first thought was, ha ha.
Actually, yeah.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah. He's quite a safety. I love watching him.
Bears, though, their defense, Khalil Mack in the backfield, the Bears defense has been tough. Redskins do have the ball, though, inside the red zone. And
another flag.
It looks like a holding call will go against the Redskins. They had some momentum there, but it is a tough and ferocious Bears defense.
And credit Chuck Pagano. I think he's a great coach, and that's the DC in Chicago, and he is not disappointing.
Well, the Redskins, if they were to lose tonight, would be amongst the teams down at 0-3, and that's not a great group. Redskins would be in last place in the NFC East at 0-3. other teams down at 0-3, the Dolphins, the Jets, the Bengals, the Steelers, and the Broncos.
That is not who you want to get in bed with.
There is your seller of your NFL. Now, some of those teams have somewhat of an excuse in that they've lost their starting quarterback, like a Ben Roethlisberger is gone. The Jets don't have Sam Darnold. They're playing with Luke Falk. So you've got...
Well, who is their number three? It's not even their number two.
That's right. So I have some sympathy for those teams. Broncos surprised me. I thought the Broncos had a little more. I thought they were more like an.
Surprise,
I thought
right?
they'd be an 8-8 team with Flacco, a steady hand, a middle of the road quarterback, and a pretty stout defense on the part of the Broncos. So I did not see them at this 0-3 point.
Yeah, the only 8 they're going to see is what they had for breakfast. They're not going to have an 8 anything season. But from what you're seeing tonight on Monday Night Football,
yes.
If you're the Redskins, are you thinking Dwayne Haskins? Are you calling for him? Or are you happy with what you're seeing with Case Keenum?
Well, right now, I'd be happy that my rookie quarterback was not on the field getting beaten up. I think this is a good week to hold him out. Let Case Keenum take the brunt of the hits and then bring Haskins in on a...
There was just another one.
A little easier timeline.
Yeah. Darn, that O-line. They got to figure out something with Trent Williams.
Well, let's hope they do for the Redskins' sake. All right, hour number one of the books. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss of SB Nation Radio.